My name is Max.
So this is it, right?
We're doing it.
Okay. We're finally doing
it. Great. This has been a long time coming, and I'm pleased to be here.
I know. I'm not sure if I should pace or if I should just sit here. Here, I'm just gonna sit here comfortably with you.
Great.
I'm gonna rest this on the Superman pillow, and I put the receiver on the Brokeback Mountain plushy pillow.
I'm also sitting on a Brokeback Mountain plush pillow, so I feel like we're somehow connected.
Okay, so this is...
Don't lean in seductively.
Right. If you hear make-out sounds. This is the product of a bunch of talk and a love for Mad Max Fury Road. This is the first time that we saw it together. We couldn't stop talking about it, and we said...
What happened was, just to give some background, my name is Travis Sintel.
I'm Yuri Lowenthal.
So Yuri, I believe at the time he asked me, he said, hey, Travis, you have to come see Mad Max Fury Road. We have similar tastes in movies. We've learned that over the years. And he said, I've seen it 4 times in the theater.
Yeah.
At the time you told, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, sorry, you know, I'll go see it. He goes, no, I'll see it again. I'll see it again in the theater with you. Let's just go see it.
Yeah.
And I was speechless and really into it. And then after that, we said, we should talk about this more. We should talk about it. We should record that. And then we went to see it again last week.
Last week, a 35mm print at the New Beverly.
So good.
Right? I think I've seen it so many different ways now.
Yeah.
I've seen it at the Chinese, at the big theater with the super laser. That's the only time I've seen it in 3D that it actually looked good because it was bright enough.
Right.
Because I saw it at an iPic theater where you think, oh, it's going to be top of the... It was the worst time I've seen it.
I don't know if I want to see that movie in 3D.
You don't need to.
Right. I'm happy you vetted all the options for
I've seen it. 3D, not 3D, big theater, small theater, 35mm print.
Yeah. All right. You're the Mad Max expert.
Yeah. So we got to talk. There's so much in that movie that we start having these discussions. And I thought, you know, well...
It felt really dense.
We should share it with the world.
Yeah, right. People who want to hear our opinions about this. It felt really dense, and I think we both had heard about the Star Wars Minute podcast.
Yeah.
Where they just go a minute at a time for Star Wars, and that felt like a really funny idea.
Yeah.
But Mad Max was the first movie I'd seen that could sustain that idea, and
right.
You could actually have things to talk about for every frame of the film. It just felt loaded with well thought out content and sort of backstory and
but I don't have the patience for 1 minute at a time, so we're gonna do 4 minutes
that's
at
right.
a time.
Mad for Max. That's what we'll do.
Right.
We'll have to name this
because it's the fourth move. That's, you know, ostensibly a reason why we chose four.
we could do four minutes, I said five minutes.
It's really arbitrary. It's just mostly to get us talking about that. But we're not even gonna start talking about fear. I mean, you know, it may creep in. You will likely learn that other things will probably creep in.
Here's what I've learned about Yuri. You cannot talk to him for more than 30 minutes without Mad Max Fury Road creeping in somewhere.
God, it's a disease.
It's just the way it's been ever since you've seen it.
I have a serious problem.
Yeah. And we've shared an aggressive dismay with our popular culture for everyone who has hated Mad Max Fury Road. Not that we're a little bit fanboyish. Probably Yuri more so than me, if that's not offensive
Maybe.
To say. I think that's probably
Maybe.
True.
Maybe. I mean, it's certainly fair.
But I am confused by the amount of weird, either vitriol or passive aggression against this film by people who like movies, who seem really annoyed by Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah,
we're not starting with Mad Max Fury Road, and here I am.
And here we're starting with that. We'll give it a minute.
Yeah.
Usually I don't care what movies people like. I mean, you like what you like, you don't like what you don't like, and everybody's got that. That's a perfectly justified thing. But I've had trouble with people who have said, oh, it was terrible. I don't know. I find it very difficult to be friends with those people
it's
anymore.
It's like saying Footloose is terrible.
Exactly.
You can't say that. You can say you don't like it.
Right.
You cannot say Footloose is a terrible movie.
Exactly.
I probably picked the wrong example.
You can't
say Mad Max Fury Road is a terrible movie. It may not be for you.
Exactly. You can say, hey, you know what? I didn't like it. Fine. But if you go on to say it was terrible and it had no story and this is why I hated it and it was, you know, boring or... I mean, boring is... I don't know how you could apply that.
No, people have said that a lot. People I respect publicly have said that a lot.
Don't reveal their names here.
I won't do that.
It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to listen to this podcast.
I don't even know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the idea behind this is besides giving us a chance to talk about Mad Max Fury Road. But we can discover as we go, but yeah. One of the ostensible reasons could be to convince people to like Mad Max Fury Road.
Maybe by the end of this podcast, after 150, 200 episodes, you'll like Mad Max Fury Road.
It's a podcast dissertation.
God, if it takes you that long, there's nothing that we can do.
Yeah.
But we decided, rather than, I mean, neither of us are, I would say we're film experts. I mean, neither of us are film experts. This is not going to come as some sort of, treatise, thesis on, although we've probably, what did they say that it's like 10,000 hours to become an expert on something? And you and I have got to have watched,
I would say
at least 10,000 hours worth of movies.
It's quite possible. Yuri says he's not an expert. While I'm sitting next to an entire wall of Blu-ray discs that
some of them are DVDs and some of them are VHS.
Right. Okay. So that gives you some idea of what we're dealing with. I would say that we are prosumers.
We're the prosumer version of an expert.
Right.
Exactly.
We're the 5D Mark II.
Mark II. Right. We are nowhere near a C300.
Right. So yeah, that's where we're at, I think. But yeah, but the point of that of all that is to say that I don't think we're gonna give you like.
Yeah, we're not
intelligent. Discourse.
And sometimes we're just gonna be flat out wrong.
Yeah.
Just straight up wrong. Probably. We're gonna get things wrong.
But I'll tell you what, it's all gonna be well intentioned and good hearted.
You're goddamn right. It is.
And do our best.
Travis Hotel.
Yeah, great. Anyway, so we chose to start.
Yeah.
Not by watching Mad Max Fury Road. But we realized neither one of us had seen the original Mad Max, at least all the way through.
Yeah, I had to, I've seen it, but I've never seen it from start to finish. It's always been in chunks. It's always been little bits here and little bits there. And honestly, there are some, we just finished watching.
Just finished.
And beautiful print, by the way. This Blu-ray print is gorgeous, but it still has the shitty American English dub because we were afraid, I guess, that we wouldn't be able to understand.
Did you have an option when you bought it, or you just bought the trilogy and it happened?
Bought it, and I was hoping for the best. I don't even know if they is there a general release version of the first film, Mad Max, with the original dialogue track?
These are the questions I will never have answers to.
Right, nor will I.
I really don't know.
I could literally get on my phone right now and find out, and I just don't care.
We should institute a Googling or no Googling policy for this podcast.
I don't think I'm going to be able to control myself. I think certain things as we're talking, I'll have to hop on.
So in that case, I'll institute a no Googling policy then. Great.
Okay. So I'm the only one allowed to Google.
Nobody can Google.
Right.
We'll have to just torture our way through this.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
That's a policy fine. Until Yuri breaks it, in which case it's no longer a policy.
I'm already going to get skewered by people who are like, what? Mad Max is the first film. I can't believe you've never seen it all the way through.
What's crazy about that? My writing partner and I always get in fights about this. My writing partner is a film virtuoso, I would say. And he's continually, I would say, disappointed is the word.
In you?
With my film consumption and film knowledge.
Well, I make up for it. In just how much love I feel for you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so no disappointment coming from this side of the couch. I like that. But the Mad Max trilogy really is one of those movie trilogies I never got around to watching. Here's what happened. I'll tell you exactly why I'm a bad film watcher. I grew up in a household that wasn't super religious and certainly not super repressive, but we had very strict controls on what we were allowed to watch. So I was not allowed to watch Bambi because, spoiler alert, the mother gets shot. Still never seen Bambi, but there was no violence or guns allowed in the movies that we watched.
I grew up, my parents were liberal hippie, Peace Corps volunteers, and I wasn't allowed to watch The Dukes of Hazzard because it showed disrespect for the law. I wasn't allowed to watch, right, I know, that's laughable in
that's
it,
why.
And of itself.
I was like, I was waiting for the racism part, but
disrespect for authority.
Sure.
I wasn't allowed to watch SWAT because of the violence. I'm of an age, we have an age difference between us.
A little bit, yeah.
A few
Yuri's
years.
Yuri's 94.
I'm 94.
And I'm 21, so
exactly.
It's a slight age difference.
It's slight, but I wasn't allowed to have toy guns.
Same.
As a kid, until I forget exactly what age I finally got a ray gun that made noises.
Never
but it was in that. No way, like I had to make guns out of sticks before
right,
then.
Right. Had to. Yeah.
Right, but you were saying this was the case
with you. So that makes a lot of sense. But I assume then what happened to you is what happened to me, which is that all the classic movies one was supposed to see growing up around the time it came out, whether it's Godfather or whether it's Bambi, by the time it got to the point where I was mature enough and independent enough to make my own filmic decisions, everyone had already seen them. No one wants to go right. back and watch the Mad Max trilogy again. And you and I just discovered this too. Neither one of us have seen The Wire. Because by the time we came on board,
you just admitted that in front of all these people.
Sorry, in front of our parents.
in front of your wife. In front of my wife, who will listen to the first 15 minutes of this podcast and go, I know what they're going to say.
Yeah, I know what's happening. But yeah, we never seen that because by the time we wanted to see it, everyone we know has seen it. Yeah. So there's something about sitting in a room by yourself and watching a movie from 1979. That feels really weird to me. So I'd never seen any of the Aliens. I'd never seen any of the Godfathers. Now, I've since seen that with various people just because I'm making a concerted effort to catch up with my life.
See, which is funny because I thought you were going to say, having been kept from those things as a kid, you grew up fetishizing guns and violence like I did.
No.
But it went a totally different way, which is fine. Do you ever find yourself in situations... either in your past or in the present, because there's going to be a lot of honesty. I feel that this podcast is going to contain more honesty than any of the other podcasts.
Well, if honesty is the barometer by which we measure art, then look out, Guggenheim.
Right.
Put this in it.
But there were times, and there are fewer now, and I think I've finally gotten to the point where I just own up to shit like that. But I used to, when people are like, yeah, I remember in movie X, when it did this, and I was like, yeah, that was awesome. In the back of my head, I'm like, I've never seen this, but they seem so excited. And it's been so long. Like, I can't admit to, saying, I've never seen The Godfather, or whatever, Citizen Kane, whatever the movie is.
Yeah. Have you seen Citizen Kane?
I have seen Citizen Kane, but I waited long enough. It was one of those movies that I didn't see till I was maybe in college?
Same, college. The first time I saw Citizen Kane was in a theater, actually, which is weird.
Wow. But you know what ruined it? I saw The Battle of Citizen Kane, which is a documentary about Kane that then was so good and so interesting that when I saw Kane, I was like, maybe I like that better. But it was... it is a colossal film in its undertaking and... for its time and what it did. And still, I've gone back since then and, especially, coming to a love of, film noir and, the films of that period, I recognize why it is such a titan. But I waited a long time and there are still movies out there that I think that I've seen that when it gets right down to it, I'm like, no, I've never actually seen this.
It's so
but
funny.
Do you admit to it these days?
Well, here's what happened. I think you and I had opposite things coming into it because I have this theory in life that you just lean into your deficiencies. Like it's like jazz.
God
bless
you.
You hit a wrong note once, it's a mistake. You hit it twice, it's jazz. I try to be jazz about my life, which is just I will be the first to lean hard into my faults and flaws. So I was the kid in college who everyone assumed had seen movies,
right.
And I just took great pride in the fact that I'd never seen Titanic, I'd never seen the Godfather movies, and people were just like befuddled by my...
And angry sometimes.
No, angry most of the time.
Yeah.
I only owned 3 movies in college. This is becoming way too personal already. I owned, 4 actually, if you count this.
Because you loved them so much or because you had just received them?
No, because I loved them.
Okay, the 4 movies were...
And this is not an apologetic thing happening. This is
my
love. I owned, obviously, the aforementioned Footloose, which is now becoming a theme of this, and I'm sorry. I owned the movie Fame. And I owned the movie Flashdance. So it was 3 F dance movies. And then the 4th one that got a lot of play was... Right. Was Bloodsport. Which I also unironically loved.
Yeah.
So I had very bad movie taste in college. And I like to think I've developed a better taste. And this is the point at which people say, I'm tuning out of this podcast. But I don't want to listen to a guy who knows
they
nothing
tuned
about
out a
film.
Long time ago. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Because there's too much love in this room for this to be a good... This is going to be a boring podcast.
I'm going to take my pants off. I'm going to take my pants off and we're going to talk about this. Right?
Just do it.
Okay, go on.
I don't... No, I've gotten to a point in my life also where I don't say guilty pleasure anymore.
Right.
It's just pleasure.
My friend has a theory about this that I think is really good. He says, if you tell me you like something,
right.
He goes, oh, did you see it BA or PA? I'm like, what does that mean? And he says, oh, it's this theory I have. Did you see it before aesthetic or post aesthetic? Meaning there's a time in your life at which you develop an aesthetic that is mm-hmm. pretty much what you hold on to the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. The things that you like. So if you see something at age 7, say you see Labyrinth at age 7, right. and you love it and it's magical and crazy, but you're a kid, you don't really know what you like yet. You haven't consumed enough media, you haven't right. thought deeply about things yet. You just like kind of everything and you don't have a good taste yet. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, anywhere between the ages of 13 and 25, you develop what your tastes are. And he always asks, well, did you see that? Have you seen it since you developed an aesthetic? And that's a really interesting way of thinking about things, I think, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I think I finally come clean with the fact that there are a lot, you know, I can like a lot of movies, but my go-to movies are all genre movies. They're all B movies. It's all mm-hmm. action, horror, fantasy, science fiction. That's where my heart is, and I think for a while, I was afraid that meant that I didn't have a good appreciation of cinema.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck it, no, this is what makes me happy. I'm Crank 2 High Voltage is in my top five.
That's oh, no.
Not that I could do a
we
top five or a top ten.
Let's
you know. Let's it's
so far yeah, it's, we've on our record is saying Footloose and Crank 2 High Voltage are our favorite films. This is
right
off to a rocky start.
Yeah, and we barely talked about Mad Max.
I mean, not at all, really.
Let's
yet.
See, we're
how far are we in?
Yeah, we're a little over 12 minutes in.
Okay. Let's get to some Mad Max.
Yeah, because we don't want to trouble these people with too long a podcast. I don't like those.
Same. Okay. So anyway, we hadn't seen Mad Max.
Right. Right. Day. Yeah.
And
all the way through.
Decided to watch
for,
it.
Yeah. So we pulled that out. We wanted to have a basis. Then that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
This first podcast isn't even to talk about Fury Road.
We're working our way up to it.
By the first three movies.
Let me say this about Mad Max. Yeah. Then let me just launch right into the
yeah.
at 12 minutes in. Let's launch right into it.
Let's get right into it.
I am struck by, and I have seen. I brought up this during this during the movie was the movie Warriors. Which yep. came out the same year we said, or the year before? Around the same time.
I can't Google. Yeah. You said I couldn't Google.
No. But you did during the
but
film.
It was, but we did during the right, I did actually literally during the film,
around
which
the
is
same
even
time.
More embarrassing.
But there's yeah. so many movies that seem like they came out around this time that share a
is
visual aesthetic. Yeah, 79, yeah. which is the year I was born, I should say.
Wow.
So
we've got 8 years between us, which
That's
is
right.
about is about the same that my wife and I have between us.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Practically. Mm-hmm. All right. So... I'm struck by the aesthetic and the simple storytelling in this movie.
Yeah.
That's just very proficient and very entertaining and very interesting. But I don't necessarily know, I have ideas, but I think we should talk about this,
right.
why this movie became the one that made it out of the morass of movies like this.
Right, because like you said when we were talking earlier before we turned on the recording device, there must have been other movies like this.
Tons.
Yeah, I mean,
I've seen a couple
at the time.
Like, but.
Yeah, but and even just coming out of Australia at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of when Razorback, because Razorback is also very strong in my memory, must have been about the same time, and it has similar, a lot of similar sort of revenge. What is it about the Australians and revenge?
I mean, they're sent there as criminals. They have this chip on their shoulder about the British. They just want to.
Okay.
It's also, I think, wide open territory. Like Wild West movies, always
yeah.
are in some way are about revenge. Just
that's,
open landscape.
That's true. There's
breeds
too much
hostility.
Right. Yeah. There's too much room to get into trouble.
Yeah,
in Australia.
I thought this was like a great masterclass in simple storytelling. Not to sound too didactic about it, but it felt really like there's simple things that come back every all the guns on the wall fire at some point.
Right.
Except
yeah.
for the very end when Toe Cutter, I guess, just disappears.
Yeah, he sort of disappears into the front of a semi, but
oh, that was that
but
guy.
That was Toe Cutter, yeah.
Oh,
but,
what a great death
see,
for that
well,
guy.
Well, see, but see, but
that.
See, but not because it's really kind of quick and ignominious. I mean, there's
Why
no
even catch it.
See,
I didn't even know
to
that's
the point,
who died.
See, exactly.
The lead guy in the movie, I thought, was still alive.
Right. See, and although he uses that shot of the eyes bulging shot in Fury Road, a lot of things come back in Fury Road.
Yeah, which is really really cool.
Yeah. I saw a movie the other day that also my big problem was that the new Bond movie Spectre.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
We won't really talk about it.
I'll see it in about 13 years.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Up till then, I'll pretend I've seen it.
Right. Okay. Excellent.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I've maybe seen two Bond films.
Oh, we should start a whole other podcast for
we'll
that.
We'll do that separately.
Because I've got a huge, right behind you.
So you've seen all the
Bond movies. My set of Blu-rays of all the Bond films up through.
I've seen Ghostbusters 1 and 2 30 times a piece, but I haven't seen a single Bond film except for like one, maybe a Pierce Brosnan. I'm saying two because it's probable I have seen them. But I
could not we're gonna have to go back and do that. And see, that's the difference between, like, when somebody tells me that they haven't seen a movie, and I wasn't always like this, but I've settled into it in my old age. But when somebody says, "Oh, I haven't seen Ghostbusters," or whatever, rather than getting, I am surprised. I'm generally surprised for a movie like that for somebody to have gotten away without seeing it thus far. But I'm so excited for them.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
I want to be the person that walks them into the room and says, "Look what you're." And then I sit up like close to them and watch their face the whole time.
Let's never watch Ghostbusters together. I don't want that to happen to me.
Sitting on your lap.
Do you know what movie I do that for? Is Noises Off.
Really?
Yeah, I love introducing people to that movie. I think it's so funny. Like, it's such a funny.
Because I've seen the play multiple times.
Yep.
In different productions, but. I don't know that I've seen
the movie. Oh, Yuri, I gotta be the guy. It's Christopher Reeve, it's John Ritter, Michael Caine.
It's an amazing
Carol Burnett is in it.
Right.
It's so good.
There's gotta be.
Mark Lynn Baker from Perfect Strangers. Oh, I mean, where else do you see him?
Right.
Doing stuff.
Good Lord.
No, it's good. It's Mary Lou Henner's in it.
Yeah.
We'll do another podcast. Okay.
So we got the Noises Off podcast, we got the Bond podcast, we gotta do a Wire podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Mad Max.
Right, Mad Max.
So the guy who plays Toe Cutter.
Yes.
Hugh Keane Barnes. The guy who plays Toe Cutter.
Don't Google it.
I'm not Googling. He then is in Mad Max Fury Road.
Which is something you pointed out that is crazy to me.
I love George Miller's, that he brings people back. He's got friends and he sticks by them.
I wonder if this is something that'll come up a lot is the interest George Miller has in the fringes of humanity. And I think, I'm guessing what happens in the next two...
Would you call penguins the fringes of humanity?
Yeah.
And farm animals?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, just check it.
Yeah, right. That's where I feel.
Right.
But I feel like it's people who, in this movie, they're recognizable. They're just on the verge of recognizability, I think. I'm sure there were gangs like this. I mean, there's so many movies that cue into this, whether it's Warriors or Mad Max, the only two I can come up with off the top of my head. But these just sort of biker gangs were probably in the mass sort of hysteria around that time. It seems like that was a thing people were worried about. And these guys are crazy. They're on some sort of unspoken drug. They're drugged out.
Right.
These crazy drugged out youth who shave off their eyebrows and stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like George Miller is interested in these fringes of humanity that are recognizable, but only recognizable enough to be frightening. Because something wholly unrecognizable and not human is not that terrifying. Mm-hmm. There's something scary about these guys who are, you know, human and have normal impulses, which is very simplistic. It's just revenge. But then it makes me think of Mad Max Fury Road, when that's pushed to a crazy limit where they're not animals. They are very much human. They have human instincts and they have human desires and human needs, which is why the movie works. But it's Mad Max, this movie, pushed to a crazy degree. So I wonder if we'll see that in 2 and 3, which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, which is just amazing. I can't wait. Because 2, the second film, Road Warrior, was the one that I saw a million times growing up.
Are you going to watch my face while I watch it?
I'm going to sit on your lap, but facing you. Oh, you're going to have to look around my head. What was the first R-rated movie you saw?
That's a great question.
Because that always...
Oh, that's a great question. Because, it's got to be Bloodsport, right? Is Bloodsport rated R?
I don't know, man.
I feel like there's a lot
of blood.
I
can't look it up, so...
Yeah, we'll have to come back to that.
We'll come back to that, because for me... It was when I went up, and by the way, I read the counter wrong. We've been recording for like 23 minutes.
Oh, shit.
We'll have to wrap this up soon. I'd rather leave him hanging than
we really
else.
Covered Mad Max well.
Right, right.
Nailed it.
Living overseas, my dad had gotten a Betamax for us, sort of to make up for dragging us, you know, to a third world country when I was, you know, 10 years old.
Oh, dad.
And I was like the only kid who had a video player that I knew. But so we were overseas, and we would get movies sent to us. People would tape them off of, you know, cable or whatever. And it became much easier because we'd get those movies too. We wouldn't be allowed to watch them, but, you know, when the parents were gone, you rifle through all that. And I remember four. Outland.
Sure.
The Island. With the Michael Caine one based on the Peter Benchley novel. Alien.
Great.
Big deal. And Excalibur.
Oh, I love Excalibur.
Right? Those were sort of the four R-rated movies that, And you look at the movies that I like now.
Interesting.
It's all, that's what it is.
Excalibur had to be one of the first. My mom is a, basically wants to be a wizard. She wants to be a mix of Stevie Nicks and a wizard.
Wow.
It's just, she's super cool, obviously.
I can't wait to meet your mom.
No, she's dope. But I feel like the stuff I was allowed to see early that was rated more harshly was probably something to do with King Arthur, even in that universe. If there's a castle or a maiden, Willow, like that, it's not rated R, but that's one of the ones I was dragged to at a young age.
Right.
The first, I think this is true, the first R-rated thing I saw was Eddie Murphy Raw, I think is the first, which is a really jumping into the deep end.
No, that was definitely rated R.
Hard R.
Yeah,
hard R. For stand-up comedy.
Hard R. But I think
that's the first R-rated thing I saw, I'm guessing.
I love it.
But Excalibur's in the top three, or first three, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, let's wrap up with a couple more things about Mad Max. Yeah. Things that then recur in, like, themes or whatever that end up recurring in Fury Road. Even from the beginning, the I Am the Knight Rider, that whole thing. He's talking about Toe Cutter will see me, you know, see me, hear me. Uh-huh. There's that whole witness thing, mm-hmm. you know, that comes up in Fury Road, which I love so much and have taken to screaming in real life in places that are highly inappropriate.
That nothing would terrify me more than someone saying, remember me, and screaming it in a public space.
Yeah.
So I just assume something terrible is going to happen at that point.
Yeah.
Why would we remember you? Don't show us.
Right.
No, the idea of disenfranchised people looking for meaning is like a key thing that's going to keep coming back, I think. And the idea of wanting to be remembered. And the thing is, Toe Cutter, this will make no sense if you haven't seen Mad Max, but Toe Cutter does a good job, I think, of amongst the living kids saying, don't forget Knight Rider, don't forget this guy. When you look at the night sky, remember this guy. And so they want what Knight Rider has. They want to die in a public way.
Gloriously.
That matters. Yeah, they want to have a glorious death. And so they're willing to do crazy things. I don't think Mad Max fully exploits that idea the way Mad Max Fury Road does.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I love that. Why don't we, we'll probably come back to, as we're going forward, we'll come back to Mad Max. We'll come back
to. So, conclusion. I would say Mad Max, it gets a 7.5, 8 out of 10 from me. I think it's a lovely film.
I'm not even going to, I don't.
I'm giving it 7.5 out of 10.
Do
final,
it.
Final thought, that's it.
Do it, okay.
7.5 out of 10.
That's.
I will not be argued out of this number.
I'm not going to argue you out of
maybe
anything.
Maybe an 8. All right.
Thanks for joining us. For those of you who survived the rest of this, all the way through, look for the next one. We're gonna, you know what? We're gonna record it, even if you guys don't tell us to. Cause
focus. We're gonna be focused next time about Road Warrior. We're gonna get really intense, good feedback about Mad Max, the Road Warrior, starring Mel Gibson. Our attention will not divert from that masterpiece.
It won't be able to. I'm telling you, this next film is a masterpiece. Like George Miller dialed it in on this one, and then just blew it out.
Don't look
at
my face while I watch it.
No, I'm not gonna. Okay. I've just got a GoPro in the corner. We talked briefly about once before about what we wanted to.
You know what this is like? This is like in a movie when they like just need an exit shot, and the character's exiting, but then drops his lipstick or whatever. He picks it up, and then he just can't leave frame. He can't get out of the frame. All the director wants is just a clean exit. Just walk off the screen, and we're done. Just we're waiting to wrap. Just walk off the screen.
Just one more.
And then he trips and has to come back. Forgot something.
Right,
this is the cleanest exit from a bot podcast.
How British am I?
Right.
So we talked briefly about what we might call this show.
Yeah.
I came up with a title. Do you think you can best the title that I came up with?
I don't know what you came up with.
The title that I came up with is You Are Awaited.
Oh.
Because maybe You Are Awaited : a Mad Max Fury Road podcast. Just because in the movie.
That's very good.
Nux says, am I awaited? You know, they're always like, am I awaited at the gates of Valhalla? You know, he says, am I awaited? And Morton Joe says, if you do this, you know, I myself will carry you across the...
I remember that.
You know, that...
You already seen the movie. I want to reiterate six times in the
six
theaters.
Times. I'm embarrassed that I can't just... There are only seven lines of dialogue in the whole movie.
Yeah,
I should be
you
able
have
to,
them. You have
I should
them.
Be able to quote every one of them.
I guess all I have is my riff from before. I'll give it a good solid pitch. Mad for Max! That's my best version of that. My best pitch for that. That's all I got.
I'm gonna
overruled.
I'm gonna. I know I don't have the power to veto.
Nope. Vetoed. Overruled. I hadn't come in with any ideas about the name for the podcast.
Yeah, that's.
You are awaited.
You were awaited.
Sold. Who needs theme music coming later?
Yeah, we'll figure that out later. Thanks for joining us, if indeed you stayed.
God bless you.